We're going to speak with our old pal, Colonel Jeff McCausland, CBS News military analyst. Big news this week out of Israel. The Hamas leader, Yahya Sinwar, was killed in a drone attack a couple of days ago. He was the mastermind behind the October 7th attack in Israel. Jeff McCausland, this is a major development in this conflict.
Hey, it's great. You're with two of my favorite guys in St. Louis, and you're exactly right. This could be an inflection point or a game changer. Many people believe Yahya Sinwar obviously was the singular head of Hamas, particularly in the aftermath of the killing of a guy named Ismail Haniyeh in a bombing in Tehran while he was attending the inauguration of a new Iranian president, and the killing of a guy named Mohammed Deif, who was the military commander of Hamas in the Gaza Strip in an airstrike a couple of months ago. So the unity of command had devolved totally onto Sinwar. He was the architect of the October 7th attack. And keep in mind, this is a guy who spent, he was 61 years old. He spent 22 years in an Israeli prison. So he was a very, very focused terrorist, focused on destroying Israel, and frankly, I think comfortable with becoming a martyr. It was an obstacle to any kind of negotiations for a ceasefire. So some believe there's an opportunity. Now, whether or not that opportunity exists, and whether or not, frankly, the leadership, particularly in Israel, can take advantage of that opportunity and find now leadership on the other side, because Hamas is chaotic in terms of its leadership at the moment, willing to negotiate and able to negotiate, those are the questions we'll learn about in the next few weeks.
Colonel, how was this man ever released from Israel? Was it a part of some hostage deal or something in the past?
Yeah, way back when, a number of years ago, there was an Israeli soldier who was captured by Hamas and held prisoner. And the Israelis released somewhere around 1,000 Palestinians who had been held in Israeli jails in the exchange for this one guy. I believe his name was Jalat. And Sinwar was part and parcel of that particular exchange. But what's interesting about Sinwar, and kind of tells you a lot about this guy, during the 22 years he was in prison, he made a concerted effort to understand the Israelis. He learned to speak and read Hebrew. He studied their books. He studied their thinking. He wanted to know his enemy in many, many ways. And obviously had become probably more and more radicalized by that particular period of time of imprisonment.
Yeah, these terrorist groups, they're large, they're organized. And when you take out the command and control personnel, and Israel's done that here with Hamas, what becomes of Hamas? Certainly the ideology doesn't go away. New leaders emerge at some point, or what's the playbook for this thing?
Yeah, eventually new leaders will emerge. But of course, at onset, at least, they will not have the stature of Yahya Sinwar. And furthermore, they're taking over an organization that's been beat up pretty bad in the conflict that's gone on for the last year. The Israeli military estimate that at the onset of hostilities, Hamas had about 24 battalions of fighters. That's down to something less than four. In fact, the Israelis say that they're more involved in an insurgency or a mopping up exercise in Gaza, but a concerted, you know, large-scale physical attack on the ground by Hamas is just not going to happen. So the question is, have you defeated them militarily and politically now with the death of Sinwar? The problem is, of course, when you take out the leadership, is there somebody, as you suggest, to step forward and say, yeah, I'm happy to negotiate? Or is the leadership just in total chaos for a period of time? Someone will step forward. One of the likely candidates, quite frankly, is his younger brother, Mohammed Sinwar, who by all accounts is every bit as determined, every bit as radicalized as his brother. There are others who could step forward who are part of the political leadership. Frankly, most of those are in Doha, where the negotiations indirectly between Israel and Hamas for previous efforts to try to achieve a ceasefire actually occur.
Does this afford Netanyahu an opportunity to pivot here? He doesn't seem to have wanted to for a while.
It does, I think, offer him the opportunity to pivot here. And, of course, there's some pressure on him to do so, particularly by the hostage families. Right now, we think there's about 101 hostages. Probably, sadly, a third of those we believe may be dead, but their bodies may still be held by Hamas. So about 70 or so that are still living. So one could say, okay, take the win, declare our goal was to destroy Hamas militarily, politically, done that. Now we can move forward with a ceasefire negotiation and perhaps be a bit more flexible in the terms of that ceasefire. On the other hand, one could argue, and that seems to be the tenor of Mr. Netanyahu's remarks yesterday when he told the Israelis, in essence, we need more war, is, okay, we got them on the ropes. This is the time to really take them out until they actually want to stand up and give us an unconditional surrender. So intensify your efforts now against Hamas, intensify your efforts against Hezbollah at the moment. And candidly, I think he believes that as far as the United States goes, our policy, he's got a green light for the next 30 days. There's no possibility that the Biden administration is going to do something publicly to disrupt the intensification of the conflict by the Israelis prior to the upcoming election.
Colonel Jeff McCausland is our guest, CBS News military analyst. Shifting to our allies, President Biden's in Germany. He's meeting with the leaders of Germany, France, and the UK, discussing a number of things. I think at the heart of these conversations is the future of NATO. This election has real implications for NATO's future.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, in that one issue, I think the American voters have about as clear a choice as they could possibly imagine. On the one hand, Vice President Harris seems to be very clear about pursuing the strategy for NATO that Biden has created to strengthen NATO. Of course, under his watch, we expanded NATO with the addition of Sweden and Finland, not insignificant countries at all, to NATO, with an additional, of course, responsibility and continued military assistance to Ukraine. On the other side, of course, is Mr. Trump. Mr. Trump has been very, very clear, I think, that he would end military aid to Ukraine, perhaps force them to accept some kind of a negotiated settlement. I would call it, in essence, a surrender to the Russians. And that would be very, very damaging to NATO and the unity of NATO. And many people who work directly for Mr. Trump, most notably John Bolton, his national security advisor, have said if elected, Mr. Trump will pull us out of NATO and redeploy all our forces elsewhere. So there are many Europeans, I talked to a lot of them, who are watching this election very, very closely just to see which one of those two outcomes occur.
We are blessed that he spends time with us whenever we ask. He is Colonel Jeff McCausland. He's the CBS News military analyst. Thanks so much for joining us today, Colonel.
And you guys are two of my favorites. I want you to know that.
I think he says that to all the guys.
I don't know, but
you?
He's the best.
He is. Hey, Hancock Kelly rolls on after this.